And you're on.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. This is Commissioner Tao. I'd like to call tonight's meeting of the North Bend Planning Commission to order. It's Thursday, December the 10th. Looks like we do have a quorum, so I think we can go ahead and get started. I think the only issue might be approval of the minutes for the last meeting, since there were only four commissioners in attendance. I was planning to abstain since I was not in attendance. It looks like Commissioner Moe's online, Commissioner Blanco, Commissioner Bush, all that's missing that was present on the 12th was Commissioner Greenberg. I haven't heard that he wasn't going to attend. Jamie.
He did email us today and said that something came up with his family.
Okay.
So, yes.
So for any of the other commissioners that were not at the meeting on the 12th, were you planning to approve the minutes, or were you planning to abstain? I just don't feel like I had a chance to view the recording or capture any of the testimony in the public hearing, so I didn't feel like I could approve the minutes. But how, James or Susan, how do you feel about that? Or should we?
Yeah, I was planning on abstaining, but with since there was four of them and we have three of them here, does that count enough?
Well, I think our. I don't know. I would think we would need four to approve the minutes, one over the 50%.
I was planning on abstaining as well.
Okay. So I don't see any issue with, why don't we just defer the approval of the minutes and adjust the agenda to push that. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's any controversy associated with the minutes.
That's no problem.
Okay,
yeah.
Why don't we do that? All right, so let's do the roll call. It looks like we have Commissioner Blanco.
Present.
Commissioner Torgerson.
Yes.
Commissioner Bush.
Present. I don't know if my video feed is working, though. Can you guys...
We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Moe?
Present.
Commissioner Bovers?
Present.
And Commissioner Tao is present. So can I get a motion to excuse Commissioner Greenberg?
I move that we excuse Commissioner Greenberg.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Torgerson, seconded by Commissioner Blanco to excuse Commissioner Greenberg from tonight's meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 None opposed. Scott is excused for the evening. So the next item would be opportunity for any members of the public to comment tonight. Are there any members of the public online who would wish to comment on any topic that's not on the agenda? And the only agenda item we have, I believe, is the form-based code. So anything else is open for comment if there is anybody?
I don't believe we have anyone.
All right, we will move on. And now approval of the agenda minus approval of the minutes. So can I get a motion to approve tonight's amended agenda?
This is Commissioner Bush. I make a motion to approve tonight's amended agenda minus the minutes from the November, what was the last meeting?
November 12th.
The November 12th meeting.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Moved by Commissioner Bush to approve tonight's amended agenda, minus the minutes from November 12th, seconded by Commissioner Bovers. All in favor, please say aye.
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 None opposed. We have an agenda for the evening, which then brings us to the only item on that agenda. Jesse, are you going to do the presentation for the form-based code?
Yes, I am.
All right. You are.
Okay. I'll give it a go. So because this is the only thing on the agenda, and I'm estimating the presentation to be about 20 to 25 minutes, please interrupt me at any point if you have questions. I will now share my screen to the PowerPoint. Okay, can you all see that in presentation mode?
Yes. I can see it, yep.
Okay. Yes. So at first I want to clarify that this is just an introduction only as background for the form-based codes being proposed for a downtown commercial area. The bulk of our efforts will be in January and February over the course of three meetings, and I'll share the timeline with you in a minute. Tonight's presentation is going to kind of refresh you on the requirements for the Department of Commerce grant that this is through, which is the same grant for the medium density residential codes. I'll do a brief explanation of form-based codes. I'll then go over a highlight of the community downtown survey results, which some of you may have participated in, which happened a few months ago, which we're using as guidance towards our recommendations. I'll go over our proposed approach for the form-based codes in our downtown, go over some materials that we've reviewed to date, and then we can have an open discussion at the end. So first I'll go over the grant requirements. I remember one of the questions that a commissioner brought up during the MDR discussion is how these efforts fit into the Growth Management Act. If you see the upper left of that graphic, RCW 3678600, the Growth Management Act is actually 36.78. So this is a part of the Growth Management Act. It's associated with grant funds that expire April 1st, but this is in fact within the Growth Management Act. 601C is the medium density residential, and then 601I is the form-based codes, which is adopting form-based code in one or more zoning districts that permit residential use. Form-based code means a land development regulation that uses physical form rather than separation of use as the organizing principle for the code. And so that's our requirement right there. We've already had a council work study discussion, and they give us a pretty clear message that increasing density at this point is not completely desired, but changing our codes to I guess more changing the way that we use our zoning in our downtown and that we review development permits is a possibility to move forward in a way that can allow more options of for affordable housing. And so that's kind of how we're approaching it to date. And so the timeline, you will first see the actual materials, the proposed code updates in early January for Planning Commission discussion on January 14th. So those will come across your desk on January 7th. We're still in the process of working through those. We need to first turn in a draft to Commerce January 15th, so that doesn't have to be completely reviewed, but just a complete draft so we could claim part of our grant funds. And then the Planning Commission public hearing will be on January 28th with recommendation on the 11th, and then immediately after that, it goes to CED on February 16th, which gives us enough time to have a council introduction and adoption all so it can get adopted before April 1st. So this is kind of a aggressive timeline. It was suggested that we wait to go over the form-based codes until after the MDR, and I think that was the right decision. I think it's given staff more time to work through it. It also gives your more or less undivided attention to this section of the grant now. So I think that was a good move, even though it will be kind of a mad dash towards the end. But that just adds to the excitement, right? So first, I want to give you a form-based code primer, which is more of a focus on design and open space with the relationships to adjacent uses versus what our current zoning and what a lot of zoning within the United States focuses on, which is the uses within the buildings. And the reason why we're going through this effort is to help recreate our downtown zoning to both promote more diversity in housing and to retain and enhance our downtown character for as more of a mixed use in an urban and a relative, relatively speaking, form. So form-based codes aren't necessarily for suburban or residential, more auto-focused zones. They're more for mixed-use, walkable areas, and our downtown is a great place to apply that. And so the reason why form-based codes, what makes the place nice to be is not just the activities inside the building, because those activities over time change. It's the character of the place that matters most and comes from the form of design, not necessarily the land use. If you look at these pictures to the left, both of the scenarios on the upper left and lower left, they have the same zoning, the land use zoning. They have the same use, but they look a little bit different as far as one kind of creates more of a vibrant atmosphere, the pictures on the right, than the more auto-focused pictures on the left. And so the point is design to help us get more of the development and redevelopment of what we want and less of what we don't. And I think if you ask many developers, it also gives them a bit more certainty of going through the development process. So the key here is to make a place that we want to be in the future. So really what it's trying to do, what form-based codes are trying to do is go beyond segregated uses, which originally their intent, kind of relating from or coming out of a couple of Supreme Court decisions about 100 years ago, was to keep the homes, the residential areas out of the smoke of industry. And so it's got good intentions. It still has good intentions, and there's still a great application for them. I'm not trying to knock on conventional zoning, but there are some unintended consequences that kind of push land uses farther apart, which for a place like our downtown commercial zone may not be the most desirable. So good design of urban spaces like our downtown come from the relationship between the private spaces, such as the buildings, and the public realm, which is the right-of-way and open space. And conventional zoning has tools that address this, but they don't always produce a great sense of predictability. For example, Florida area ratios and dwelling units per acre can't really give us a prediction of what kind of a street, what kind of a right-of-way public space we'll get. That's the same thing with maximum dwelling units can't tell us if a place will be nice and walkable. So conventional zoning kind of has a risk of abstractions, whereas form-based codes kind of add a bit more certainty of where we're going. And that is with the use of graphics and more tables versus it's a little bit less text. And so according to Planetizen, which is a planning resource, if you haven't stumbled upon that website yet, I highly recommend it. It's a great tool. I currently have a subscription, and I've been using it to help myself read up on form-based codes, as this is a newer concept to me as well as to you all. But Planetizen's definition for form-based codes is a method of regulating development to achieve a specific urban form. Form-based codes create a predictable public realm by controlling physical form primarily and land uses secondarily through city or county regulations. So the graphics below kind of show what the emphasis is. Conventional zoning meaning the main emphasis on the density of the development and the use going on, and then form-based codes being the form. And so a main concept behind form-based codes is the use of the transect. And if this was more of a city-wide code update effort, then the entire transect would make more sense. Us in downtown, we're more of the second to the right and third to the right as kind of like an urban core area, but not the most dense that it could be. Transects are an important thing to understand in that it's what's considered human habitat. So if you think of, if you were to draw a line from the center of town, from Bendigo and North Bend Way, and go in any direction, what you would have is intensive uses and then slowly going to less intensive. And obviously there's caveats to that in North Bend's unique urban form, but in general, in cities within the U.S. and around the world, that's kind of the context of it. And so context is key. We need to consider our existing dimensions and how these dimensions will change relative to where we are in the transects. And so this type of use and this type of outlook is great for such uses as downtowns, infill development, redevelopment, greenfield development, historic places, transit-oriented development, and retrofitting suburbia. So our downtown could be considered several of those. And so what it comes down to is the graphical tool of a zoning map versus a regulating plan. Whereas a zoning map doesn't have a lot of detail aside from telling you a zone, maybe an overlay. Lots of parcels are kind of in the same area and dealt with the same way. Whereas form-based codes generally have greater detail to help with the relationship to the character and existing use. And so the components within the plan, it's an illustrative plan. So if you've all looked at our design standards, it's kind of along more of that nature versus how our code reads currently. So it's a plan with text and figures, a map that goes over what kind of character we're looking for. So content typically has an introduction, the intent of the zone, the standards within the zone, the building standards, as well as frontage standards, street standards, and open space standards. And so within North Bend's context, it's to really build off of existing conditions and opportunities within our downtown and preserving existing intensities, not trying to change the character. Pulling from such documents as our downtown master plan and our design standards, our comprehensive plan, and our public works standards. And so that's kind of a general overview of form-based codes. I'm going to, we could stop for questions right now, or I can continue on to our the kind of highlights of the survey results that we had. Does anybody have a question at this moment?
Any questions from commissioners?
I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jesse, if you could, I'm a visual. I mean, I kind of need to put myself down there. If you could draw a line, when you say commercial, are you stopping at, say, QFC and going north to, I don't know, as far as Silver Creek, go over? Can you just kind of give me an idea or give us an idea of what exactly we're talking about by commercial? Because I think some of it's part commercial, some of it's part residential, and maybe that's exactly what you want. I just need to be clear of what we're talking about area.
Yeah, the area of focus for this effort, that is the downtown commercial zone. And I do have a map that illustrates that later on in the presentation, but it's when you look at our zoning map, it's everything within the red. And so,
you said?
Yeah, it's the DC zone, the red zone.
Okay.
And so that is, there's QFC, there's our historic district, there's areas that are more residential. This would be applying a mixed use type of zone to all of that. And exactly what we're proposing, I'll get into briefly later on in the presentation.
Thank you.
I've got a question.
Yes.
With the DC zone, is there any, how does the relationship with 202 affect something like this? Do we have enough to say what we can and can't do along 202 as it comes through that zone?
That's a good question, because in regulating plans, there's the regulating map sometimes focuses on the right-of-way and sometimes focuses on the building. Like if you go to this picture, right, if you go to this map right here, you could see that it's the roads that are highlighted. For our effort to date, we're going to be focusing on the buildings and how they address the street. So they're set back. And so you're right in that 202 is WSDOT, and we do have limited control over that. So I think for the purpose of this effort, and this will either be a one and done, no more form-based codes for North Bend, or the beginning of several efforts in the future, this particular effort associated with this grant. But, you know, the city doesn't have a timeline. There's only money at stake for adopting a certain. So, I mean, that can be something that's discussed in the future. For right now, it's the buildings within the downtown commercial zone with some recommendations for right-of-way. But, yeah, you're right. We can't. WSDOT is 202, and it's kind of hard to mess with that.
Does the grant require us to approve it for multiple existing zones, or would a form-based code in the medium residential zone fulfill the grant without, if we said no to something in like the DC zone?
If we kind of picked and choose areas within the DC zone, I don't think we would be meeting the intent of the grant. And especially if we overlapped in the MDR zone, because here's the conditions of the grant. MDR being this C section, and so that's a newly adopted MDR zone. And then, so for form-based codes, it has to be one or more zoning districts that permit residential uses. So we could choose a different district, but we couldn't kind of, we would have to, it has to be in the entire district,
yeah.
Entire DC zone. But within the DC zone, we can have separate transects. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but what I'm proposing is two different transects within the DC zone. So there will be a different type of intent, and we could have more. We'll be able to discuss that in more detail during the introduction in January. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
This is Susan. In the beginning, you mentioned that the council was not interested in increasing density, but yet they wanted to address housing. I thought that was contradicting, so maybe I misunderstood what you said.
I think the intensity of use is like increasing heights above what they are currently did not come across as favorable amongst council during work study, but they are favorable of affordable housing. That was what we gathered from the work study. I don't want to speak on behalf of the council, but my personal takeaway from the work study was that.
And was that Commissioner Moe or Commissioner Bush that wanted to get in with the question?
Yeah, this is Commissioner Bush. It kind of follows on Susan's question, going back to the two binders that Jesse showed in one of the slides of the zoning code books. One of them was, titled 22 before and then after. So this process, it really streamlines the approval process and like builds in more flexibility to what you can or can't do. But so form-based code doesn't necessarily address, it sounds like, height, parking, or density, that there aren't prescribed ways or rules, or there aren't prescribed heights or densities or anything to form-based codes, which is what Susan had kind of brought up.
Well, it could address heights. Just direction that we got from council was to not increase heights, and we're not going to change our parking code per se. 18.16, that was something that we just brought through you and got approved from council. But what we can do is have more control on where the parking goes. For example, in downtown, instead of having parking on the front edge, parking can be behind, whereas the building is up front, which makes more of a walkable, vibrant environment.
Okay.
And so one thing to note, you called out the picture on the lower right of this slide. Mm-hmm. We aren't proposing to adopt an entire unified development code that takes up all zoning. So maybe that slide is a little bit misleading. This is just specifically for our downtown commercial zone. So it's not like we're trying to change all of Title 18 or 1810. Okay. It's just a portion of it. I mean, if this is something that the city considers successful, and we want to make these adjustments for other zones, then it's something that we can move forward with in the future.
Got it.
A quick question. Behind Safeway, what is that zoning there? Is that considered, you know, I'm not looking at the zones, but is that part of this form zoning, or is that not downtown zoning?
No, behind Safeway is actually not even City of North Bend in a lot of the areas on the other side of what's that road called? I don't have, you know, the top of my head. There's the potential the former potential hotel site, which is within the city, but if you're referring to those neighborhoods
behind Safeway.
Yeah, that's actually King County.
So oh, really?
That is within our annexable area, but we haven't annexed it yet.
Okay, because I was just thinking that would be a really great place to put taller buildings or more housing, and it wouldn't affect anybody's view.
Yeah, that's a good point. Downside is it is in the floodplain, and the floodplain is fairly high right there. If you go there, you can see that some of the buildings are raised, which was done by in King County efforts. So that would have to be taken into context, but there are FEMA documents that guide you on how to create mixed-use buildings where there aren't residences that live on the bottom.
Right, parking on the bottom.
Yeah, so it does make sense in that. But that is not a part of our city at this moment. It may be in the future, but there are no plans to annex that at this time. But Safeway is interchange mixed-use, so that is a different zone than this. There was discussion about maybe looking at that at some point. But right now it's just our downtown. And maybe I'll just jump ahead to, so this is the area that we're talking about. I kind of skipped ahead in the presentation, but it's basically all the downtown commercial. I did include some city-owned lands right here, which could be developable in the future. But this is actually considered parks open space. But it's all this area that's within the purple. North Bend Way being this. Yellow Thoroughfare, and then Bendigo being this one with our historic district right here. So this is the area we're focusing on. Maybe I should have had this as a slide earlier in the presentation. Any more questions? If not, I can jump into the highlights of the community survey results.
All right, jump ahead.
Okay, or jump behind more.
Or like. Jump behind.
All right, so some of you may have taken part in this. A few months ago, we sent out a Google survey to folks throughout the community, and we received a very good response. We got about 350 survey responses, which was great. And I think if I were to do it again, I would make it a little bit more brief. I think we were over-detailed in that, but there were some main themes we wanted to point out that we're thinking about as we move forward with these form-based codes. The first one being we actually are a mountain town, and not that everybody in town grabs their kids and goes to the mountain to go skiing on the weekends or grabs their mountain bike after work, but that mountain views are very valuable to residents of North Bend. And we identify a lot with them. For example, one of the questions with 339 responses was, what do you like most about downtown North Bend right now? And almost two-thirds said mountain views. And so that shows that there's a high value on mountain views, and not just Mount Si. In one of the questions following that first question is, how much would we consider other mountain views, such as Rattlesnake Ridge or Mount Washington or Mailbox Peak? And out of 343 responses, over half said that they consider those just as valuable as Mount Si. And so it's not just Mount Si, but it's all the mountains that we find very valuable within the community. And so there's ways that we can approach design that helps retain those mountain views in the downtown. Also, retention of character is important. We ask people to name off what buildings were sacred to their community, and not to a big surprise, most of the buildings within our downtown historic district were mentioned. Tweeds being mentioned the most, and the North Bend Theater. And so what that tells us is that retaining that historic aesthetic that's over a century old is important within the downtown core area. Maybe not necessarily the entire DC zone, as it encompasses a much larger area than that core area, but at least within the core area and the areas immediately surrounding it, it's very important to maintain that character. People mentioned a couple other communities that they appreciated the character of. Leavenworth was number one, but I don't think that the suggestion is that we want to go Bavarian. I think it's more that the form, the size, how the buildings address the sidewalks and the walkability is something that we can take with that, as well as downtown Snoqualmie, Issaquah, and then Bend, Oregon, and Park City were also mentioned as towns not within our area. Another theme that came out was that healthy lifestyles are desired. And for example, when asking how important is it to connect our downtown parks with safe vehicle-free paths for pedestrians, one being not important at all and five being extremely important, the overall average from 345 responses was 3.97, so just a shade under extremely important. Also, three-quarters of respondents, 341 respondents, asking if they'd be supportive of people-oriented space along the South Fork of the Snoqualmie Riverfront Trail. Three-quarters were favorable of that. In the following up question where people were asked about additional comments, most seemed very happy for the trail, but there was some minor opposition claim that the lands are private property and to leave them alone, and complaints about trash. And so that is something that the city is aware of if there's move for that in the future. And so that's kind of a highlight of the results from the survey that we're going to take. There was also a developer component where we asked questions specifically to developers. And one of the biggest themes that they're looking for is consistency. And from talking with architects developers, it seems like form-based codes are a good approach to help create more consistency in design review and what they expect for building products within the city. So now I'll give a little bit more background and context as far as materials that have been reviewed for this particular effort. So we all saw this map a little bit ago. This is the area that we're focusing on, the downtown commercial zone. Originally, there was thoughts that we could kind of look beyond that to some of the adjacent areas, but it seems like the best thing to do at this point is just to focus on the DC zone. And as you can see, this abuts some of the areas that were discussed for the medium density residential. And some of those areas, it was made known from some excellent public testimony that change is not exactly welcome, and there's also some flooding constraints. And so plans that we're taking into context are, we have a 2008 downtown master plan. our branding implementation guidelines, our comprehensive plan, as well as we're also working on an economic development plan right now. So these are all being taken into context as we move forward with recommendations. We're also looking at specific opportunities within the city. Redevelopment will come regardless of if we plan for it or not. The market keeps knocking on our door. If we had better guidance on exactly what we want to see get developed within the city, then that will help future efforts. And so right here are some picture, kind of panoramic photos pieced together by our architects, Leroy Gant and Tom Nyche, who are helping us out with this effort. For those of you who don't know Leroy, he is a community member, so he knows the community well, and some of his designs will help us as we move forward with the effort. So a few months ago, I presented the urban growth capacity study results. We're also looking at those as far as potential areas that can see redevelopment that'll happen, as well as some local knowledge from our team. And so that's kind of the materials that we've been reviewing to date. Now I'll kind of break down exactly how we plan to address the changes within the code. And so right now we've got the DC zone is in a lot of sections of 1810. What we propose to do is to, much like the cottage residential was done with what is now 1811, we plan to propose striking the content that's within our bulk and dimensional standards and allowed uses for the DC zone, and then citing a new section 1812. And then section 1812 will be built out as a regulation that cites a regulating plan. So this will be much like our design standards, where if you go to 1834.050, it references a separate plan. And that's what the regulating plan will have. And so the components that we're proposing for the regulating plan will have an explanation in the beginning with development standards by zone, and then it'll go into building standards, frontage standards, street standards, open space standards, and then a master planning provision for larger portions of land. And so you can see in the photo, there's the red is all of the DC zone. We have a historic, a designated historic district, which the City of North Bend has an interlocal agreement with King County Historic Preservation to help us maintain this historic district. And though it's still in draft form and not necessarily ready to share, right now what staff will be proposing in January is to create a subzone within the DC zone in and around the historic district, and then kind of a more general mixed use zone in the periphery of that. And that's just what we're recommending at a first hash. We'll have plenty of time to discuss it and refine it. And at the end of this presentation, which will be in a few moments, we can kind of go over your thoughts. And then just a final kind of close out here is showing you a rendering made by our architect, Leroy Gant, of potential of what our downtown could look like in the future. So at this point, I will open it up for discussion. I'll stop sharing, and we can do an open dialogue.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesse. Commissioners, would somebody like to start off with any discussion or questions?
What about cost, economics, people being able to, you know, businesses being able to make these changes? Has any thought been put into that?
Well, this is a development code in that it's not going to demand existing uses to change to conform to it. But for future development, we're not really proposing significant changes to the scale of development. What we're proposing is being more prescriptive on the form, not necessarily the use within the buildings. So my thought is that the permitting process will be more efficient. So time is money, and it theoretically will take less time because we're being more prescriptive on what kind of end form we want to see versus focusing on the uses inside and metrics of density. So at least the resources that I've been reading, it's more efficient.
It seems like it would actually help small businesses, and that you could have like a hair salon or a dentist office in what looks like a single family home, and then the proprietor could live above. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, the hope is that it creates a more vibrant and walkable community in our downtown, which creates commercial traffic. And so, you know, the hope along with affordable housing is that it spurs more action in our downtown once things are back to normal. We're all vaccinated.
One of the things I struggle with this, the form-based code, at least everything I've ever heard of it, has always been focused on, like you said, the walkability, the pedestrian. That seems counterintuitive to me to how our main thoroughfare of North Bend Way runs when you tie into 202, when you tie into it being an offshoot of the I-90 interchange. Is there any issues with, or have you, I guess I'm thinking, is there any thought to how that would work if you're trying to make that harder for vehicles to come through town? If this inherently makes it harder for vehicles to come through town?
I don't know if we're necessarily making it harder for vehicles to go through town. I mean, we've actually already created a walkable corridor on East North Bend Way from Bendigo Boulevard to Maine, or beyond that. And so that, I mean, the codes would kind of, it's already been done more or less. You know, it's a two-lane road with sidewalks that are 14 feet wide. And so it would be, you know, we would look at the right-of-ways like, you know, we would take that approach to other parts of our downtown. I mean, like if you go two blocks off of Bendigo or North End Way, it's still downtown, but you don't necessarily want to be promoting, you know, a bunch of traffic passing through that. So I don't think it's going to really change the circulation as it exists. I mean, Bendigo.
There has been discussion about that, though. Hasn't there been discussion about moving traffic off of Maine or off of North End Way towards like the Eye Doctor roads, things like that, using those as cut-through roads for more local traffic? Wouldn't this form-based code inherently limit that to a certain extent?
No, not necessarily, because this particular form-based code is focusing more on the buildings. And we haven't, as of now, we haven't proposed any changes to our public work standards, which is really where the right-of-way falls into. But we will be looking into that, because right now they're just designated as local and collector streets, whereas, you know, it's the same for the entire city. So you have a local street, you know, off of, you know, the Sideview development has the same standards as the local street within the downtown commercial. So we haven't really addressed, I mean, as of now, what we're proposing, I don't see how it would negatively affect circulation through the roads. It's just more of how the buildings are facing the road, where the parking is, the form of the buildings.
It may just be my perception. Like I said, for every time I've ever heard of form-based code talked about, it seems to be all about pedestrian, all about the walkability, which is inherently, to me, counter to drivability, right? You're putting your buildings up next to it, that tightens everything, the feel of the road. You know, there are sidewalks, things like that, that usually comes with tighter roads. And so, again, maybe it's just my perception of it, but.
Well, I don't think we're proposing any.
Maybe I can jump in real quick. Usually when people are talking about the walkability, what we're trying to accomplish when you're talking about walkability is, like you said, bringing the buildings more. It's not to make the street tighter, but for the walkers, the pedestrians, to feel more comfortable. They're not walking past parking lots. They're walking next to trees and buildings and windows and not just parking lot after parking lot after parking lot. It doesn't necessarily change the width of the road or the ease of the road, but makes it more friendly for the pedestrian by bringing the building closer to the street, but not necessarily closer as in it, just instead of a parking lot area. You know, you still have your landscaping, you still have your sidewalk, and then you have a building instead of just having auto-related uses right in the front, like a parking lot.
Does form-based code emphasize street parking more or angled parking, things like that would make it tight?
Not necessarily. Again, you're okay. Dealing with where do you want the building on the lot? What's the form of the building? Do you want, like was said, do you want the parking in the back so that the building is carried forward? And it can be anything. If you want a classic strip mall look somewhere where you have all of the parking in the front and all of the shopping in the back, that can be incorporated into a road. Or you could say, no, instead of just saying these are your setbacks, you say, no, we want the building here on the lot. That's what a form-based code says. It says the form is more important. The layout of the site is more important than just the use and setback and possible setbacks. So that's all you're doing. You're just changing, you know, it's not necessarily emphasizing one thing or the other. We can have the form-based code say what we want it to say, but it emphasizes what the lot and what the form is going to look like instead of those standard zoning, here's your minimum setbacks, and you do what you would like on the site within those setbacks.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it may just be my perception of where I've seen form-based code used.
They're usually used more in downtowns and more walkable, because what's great about form-based codes is because what the form is important, especially when you're wanting to make connections. So if you want to ensure courtyards or connections to other areas, those form-based codes can make that happen without you trying to just tell one person, hey, we need this access here. The form-based code spells it out across an entire area that says we want to make these connections from here to here, so these parcels need to have this kind of use or this kind of form, not use, so that they connect together. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's more of, instead of saying walkers will trump all and cars won't, you know, won't be allowed. It's more of form-based codes in general can be thought more of, instead of saying what goes on inside the building, how the building faces the road. Whereas, you know, the road itself is, that's public works world. You know, we do have our development standards for parking, but yeah, you can, as Rebecca said, you could really propose it how you want. And yes, I think just from the documentation that I've been reading, really form-based codes are like their bread and butter is suburban retrofit. So I could see why that would be the, you know, why you would think that is, you know, you go into what this is usually an auto-centric piece of land that then gets converted into more walkable. And so, yeah, I could see, but it's really what we make of it. And, you know, as we bring these standards to you, getting that kind of feedback is going to be valuable, you know, through the process, so we have something that the Planning Commission backs as we bring it to Council.
Anybody else have anything?
Commissioner Belico here. Jesse, on the map that you have, can you pull that map back up? I have a question about one particular area that's maybe excluded, if I'm reading the map right.
Yeah, I'll show the red zone, the actual
zone. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Let me first I'll share my screen. All right.
There we go.
How's that?
That's perfect. The area, let's see. So it's Ballarat, no, Bendigo. Which one's headed, which one's the library? Let's see. The library is, yeah. So right across the library, is we have the elementary school, but then we also have it's no longer in use, the what used to be Two Rivers High School, so it's probably school district property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about downtown commercial zone, which is, you know, the red. And is that something that could possibly turn into some sort of commercial area there, whether it's a high-tech company, whether it's a, you see the stuff, I'm not sure, but I'm just kind of wondering if that is something that might want to be included in that, or whether we even jump into that now, I don't know.
Well, it's considered POSPF, Parks and Open Space and Public Facilities. That's school district land.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And although it's not being used as a school at this immediate moment, there was actually a council meeting not that long ago where the school district representative was mentioning what they were using it as, but it is being used as something right now. Maybe Jamie or Rebecca, I don't know if you could recall what that was, but that's actually, yeah, that's considered, that's got the same designation as the library, as the North Bend Annex. So that's parks, open space, public facilities. So that's not actually in the DC zone. If that was something that was, that would be more of a partnership between the city and the school district to do a master plan for that, that'd probably be a separate effort. But as far as I know, I think school district lands are pretty valuable. You know,
so if they were to sell that, then it would stay, then there would be discussion as to what was going to go there if they were, you know, going to dispose of that.
Right. I mean, it could go through a rezone process, which would be a separate effort, like Jesse said. I wasn't at that meeting to know what they're using it for now. But if the school district were willing or interested in selling, yes, that's a great idea for opportunities in the future.
Okay. Thank you. I want to make sure I had the right building in mind.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. What I don't know is if it's deed restricted or that would be a separate item we take to you in the future if that were to happen.
That's pretty close to the downtown commercial. You know, that's all walkable. So that's why I'm saying it. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it'd be a great location for redevelopment.
Anybody else? All right. Well, sounds like we've got tonight's questions out and discussed. Jesse, Rebecca, Jamie, great presentation. Jesse, thanks for kind of taking on the subject matter expertise and doing all the research to kind of help set the context and explain some of the objectives and the concepts here. Is there anything else that you want to add?
Sure, I'll make a final note. Thank you for your attention tonight. This was just kind of an intention to whet your appetite for what's to come. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. Otherwise, expect to get a bunch of materials to review early January.
And what can we expect those materials to include, and what will you be looking for in that January 14th meeting? How does this evolve over the next couple of meetings?
Yeah, so there will be three components. You'll see 1810 with the DC zone elements stricken. You'll see a new 1812, which then references the regulating plan, and the regulating plan will be about, you know, 95% of what you'll want to review, which is going to be about a 25 to 30 page document, a lot of it being graphics. Looking for, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of feedback. I'm expecting it'll get skewered. So I will try my best to make it as complete as possible and to fit your desires of your future community. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of edits. The bulk of it being a 25 to 30 page document with a lot of graphics.
So if there's and I don't know if there is a way, but if there is a way to get some of those materials, even if it's kind of incrementally to review as opposed to trying to absorb all of it, you know, in essentially a week's time, that does sound like there's some complexity to this. So give some thought to, you know, any information that we might be able to get sooner rather than all at one time. I don't know if that's cool. Just give it some thought. Anything else, Jesse or Jamie, Rebecca, closing from staff on this topic?
I don't have anything else, but if you guys have, you know, as you see, also if you see stuff, feel free to, as Jesse mentioned, email with any questions or concerns so that we can, as we're working on it, incorporate anything you might have and be, you know, be prepared, incorporated into the staff report or our presentation.
Yeah, and Jesse, do you think it would be helpful? Was it Lakewood that we kind of were using as an example? It might help them to see another community's plan as well, just to kind of sit on, like you said.
Yeah, Commissioner Tao, would it help if we send you kind of a template example of what it may look like?
I think that's very helpful.
And then at your own convenience, you could respond as to what elements of that regulating plan you like and don't like.
I think that would be helpful. Commissioners, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, good suggestion.
Okay, yeah, I think that would be a little safer from staff's perspective. I don't feel comfortable sending out the regulating plan right now. It's more of an outline form, and
yeah.
I think
this is a great idea, and I think it serves the same purpose to kind of, again, allow us to more absorb the context, the concepts, and what we will be ultimately seeing for that January 14th meeting. So if we can see that just in another example or context, I think that serves the same purpose. That'd be perfect.
And I would that include like examples like what Lakewood's doing, and maybe if we had a couple of houses in the downtown area, what they would they potentially could turn into. That's where I'm trying to visualize.
Yeah. I think it's going to give you a good flavor, and there's some similarities there, and then there's differences because we're a different community, but I think it would be, there's a lot of pictures, so if you're visual, I think it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I will send that email out tonight.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, I think that's all we had on the agenda to cover tonight. Before we wrap up, commissioners, anybody have anything for the good of the order? If not, I think a motion to adjourn would be in order. Anybody want to make that motion?
Commissioner Blanco makes a motion to adjourn, and I do want to say happy holidays to everybody, so I forgot to do that.
Thank you.
Second it.
Happy holidays. This is Commissioner Bush, I second.
All right. We have a motion to adjourn made by Commissioner Blanco, seconded by Commissioner Bush, that includes wishes for happy holidays. any discussion? All in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
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 All right. We are adjourned, and I will also echo happy holidays, everybody. Staff, thanks for all the work that you've put in. Not only for these topics we've been considering, but just the way you've had to adjust and adapt in 2020 to the pandemic situation. I feel like our meetings have been very productive since we resumed, and I think you've all done a great job of organizing presentations and materials and facilitating discussions in a really challenging environment and using a challenging platform. So it's been a challenging year, but I think it's been a productive year for the Planning Commission, and kudos to the commissioners for your adjustment and adapting to the change in how we did things as well, and just for working through some of the complicated topics that we've addressed this year. So good job, staff. Well done, commissioners, and happy holidays to everybody from me as well.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Gary.
All
happy
right.
Holidays, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.